Welcome to the official catch-up. Today I've got Andy Williamson, Club Director and Club Secretary of East Stirlingshire. How are you doing, Andy?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Obviously, as I said to you on Twitter, we're getting some East Stirlingshire coverage finally. I bet you're glad of that.
I thought you'd fallen out with us and stopped talking to us, but I think you were just in with us literally the week before lockdown, so... to be fair, it's been good listening to everybody else's coverage and just seeing where other clubs are at.
Yeah, it's certainly, I think we've pretty much talked to everyone apart from yourselves and Edinburgh Uni, but again, Edinburgh Uni were another one that we sort of spoke to just before this, so we'll reach out to them soon. But no, it's been fantastic. The coverage has been great. The guys have been quite supportive. Got to include some of the amateurs and East of Scotland guys, Highland guys coming on as well. So, as I sort of expect, really, it's been fantastic. But how are you keeping anyway, Andy, through all this?
Aye, it's strange times, I have to say. I'm lucky on one hand that I'm still working every day. In my day job, I actually look after care homes, and I'm very much on the front line at the moment, so I've been kept busy. As you can imagine, you know, my life's spent looking out for PPE and just making sure that we're keeping everybody safe. So very, very busy on that side. Come home, straight into football, and even though lockdown's on, it's safe to say football's still as busy as it always is, you know, just between players, sponsors, all the things that go on behind the scenes. None of these things have stopped, so I kept busy.
Yeah, and that's good, and I think that's one of the main things, obviously. You know, as individuals, some people are obviously still, you know, they've got other people and whatnot, but it's important to keep yourself active in a wee bit of a routine, even if you're perhaps not working and whatnot. But just going by your job, mate, I'm guessing you're still a busy man.
Yeah, very. And I suppose, you know, as I say, I'm lucky in one way that I'm out working. And the thing that I'm probably most lucky to see is just the work that, you know, frontline workers do. I've got nurses working for me. I've got support staff, carers. And the job that they're facing just now is it's a monumental task. And, you know, every day I get to see just some of the phenomenal things people are doing and some of the challenges that these frontline guys are facing. And as I say, you know, I'm in the background trying to make it all stick together and, you know, and keep everything going. But it's just, you know, I know every Thursday night we celebrate these guys. They should be celebrated every day because the work that they're doing just now, I think until you're actually seeing it firsthand, you just can't quite appreciate it. But yeah, no, it certainly keeps me busy at the moment.
Yeah, and it's, you know, great, obviously, what you said there about that, and it's true. At the moment with the frontline workers, care homes, NHS, everyone's done a fantastic job, and it's risky as well. Obviously, you know, you mentioned things like PPE. I've seen, a few nurses. I think I've got an elderly neighbour, basically, and I've seen them coming out, and they have to put all their PPE gear on. It's strange. I guess it's strange for everyone as well.
It is, and it's certainly something that, you know, I think most, you know, most care staff are used to wearing PPE at certain times, but when it becomes a stable part of your everyday life that you're having to go to work, come home from work, wearing PPE, and it just, you've got to take your hat off to these guys because, you know, it's unusual times, and there's some of the sacrifices I've even seen my own staff given just now. People staying away from families, people, you know, people living in caravans just to, you know, keep themselves away from elderly relatives, sons, daughters. So it's just unbelievable. And as I say, I'm very, very privileged to be able to see it in action every day. And it's emotional as well. You know, we've lost people, and those days are hard. But as I say, when you see the resilience of these frontline workers, and you see just the attitude that every one of them comes to work with every day, you've got to take your hats off to them.
Absolutely, Andy. And we'll move on to to the football chat, obviously. And you know, as I mentioned at the start, you're, you know, director, club secretary of East Stirlingshire. But to be honest, you pretty much behind the scenes do probably a bit more than that, I would say, Andy.
I think, you know, like most clubs at our level, most people have more than one role within the club. You know, I think when you're a director of the club, you, or a committee member, as a lot of clubs have, you're really involved in, you know, everything from, you know, making sure there's sponsorship coming in, making sure there's pies at half time, making sure that, you know, people know what they're doing on match days. So I'm lucky. I've got some good, you know, good guys working with me, and everybody takes their bit on. We've also got some, you know, fantastic supporters as well out there that, you know, come a Saturday, you know, they're the guys manning the turnstiles and they're the guys selling the programmes. So it's a team effort. It's certainly, you know, club secretary wise, I think any club secretary will tell you that, you know, it's a bit of a thankless task at times. You're trying to keep, you know, contracts up to date. You're trying to keep players informed about what's going on, as well as, you know, trying to keep on the regulation, the right side of regulation, I should say, which, given, you know, given the SFA, you've got to be on your toes at times because, you know, things change, licensing criteria changes. You know, every club's audited. It regularly changes. So they're all challenges that a club secretary faces. But it's what goes into running every single club in the country.
Yeah, and one thing I kind of touched on with Sean Brown recently, especially this season, the Shire TV, the massive coverage that Shire have now in terms of their home games being streamed live, you know, interviews, match reaction, it's been fantastic. And it's, I think, a lot of lower league teams are looking into that sort of side of the game. I know Cali Braves, for example, are similar to ourselves. I think they're going to be looking into sort of follow your example a wee bit as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we tried very hard. You know, obviously when we came down into the Lowland League, it was a fresh start for us. We had to look at everything that the club did, and I think we've kind of tried to develop things. One thing that, you know, became apparent to us is we've got a lot of supporters that live abroad, and we've got a lot of supporters that like to follow what's going on. And you know, we're lucky. We've got two dedicated guys, Dave Mack and John Nimmo, that do the Shire TV for us on a Saturday, and the coverage is fantastic. And as you say, I think looking around the league, the coverage has just got better and better and better year on year.
Yeah,
As I say, we're lucky. We've got two guys that, you know, produce a top quality product. You know, it's also pretty well known that you know, we had a fairly big investment, you know, from the Far East last year. And part of that was, you know, behind having Shire TV, it was to allow people out in China to actually watch games live as they happen. And it's been very, very successful. Certainly from a sponsorship point of view as well, it's good. People are getting, you know, wider coverage, and certainly the highlight packages. I think all the boys buy into that as well. I think Jamie Dishington tends to do a runner every time he's going to come. I think you've experienced that one as well. You ask Jamie to do an interview and he's off like a flash. But no, I think the boys enjoy it as well. It gives them an opportunity. And as we always, you know, I think every club in the league, we try to do things as professional as we can. So having a good coverage package not only means, you know, people abroad can watch, but it means, you know, 24 hours later, people can watch the highlights and see all those controversial refereeing decisions that we keep getting into trouble for writing about.
I thought, you know, I touched on that with Sean as well about Jamie Dish. I think it was the quickest interview I've ever had. But to be fair to him, he was honest. I did ask him the sort of harder questions as well. So, Dish is fantastic, obviously. But in terms of your role as club secretary, is it difficult at the moment? I know Shire have got a few boys signed up for next season, but in terms of trying to bring players into the club, in terms of finance, everything basically that's going on because of this, what are the sort of challenges at the moment for yourself and obviously the club?
You're right, challenges is a word. We've got absolutely no idea, you know, like everybody, we've got no idea when football's going to, you know, be back. when it does come back, you know, what the leagues are going to look like. I think the challenge is around understanding and trying to predict what's going to happen. We worked hard. We spoke to Dale and Andy a few months back and started to, you know, plan out before all this started to happen in the world. We started to plan out what like next year would look like, and we were keen to get a core of players signed up. And you know, we've got Nicky Lowe signed, Sean Brown's obviously signed, Dish, Big Taffy signed, Marty Orr, Rhys Peggy. So you know, we've got a good strong backbone there, and we were literally ready to go into phase two, which was, you know, offering boys contracts and, you know, starting to look elsewhere at players that we've targeted. Unfortunately, all that's been put on hold. You know, we talk regularly with Dale, and we've had to be honest as a club. You know, we need to understand what the future looks like. We came out very early on. I think lots of clubs were left with the dilemma of what do they do? And absolutely cards on the table. You know, we looked at, do we make players redundant? Do we carry on? Do we try and cut contracts short? And actually, we kept coming back to, you know, these boys committed to us at the start of the season. So, you know, it was only right that we should commit to seeing their contracts out. And that's what we're doing. But what it does do is it puts a huge financial challenge on the club. I think, you know, you've only got to look at the media, and it's that clubs right through the divisions are suffering with the uncertainty of it all. We were due some big games, and indeed, you know, we were due to have Bonnyrigg come last day of the season, and I think everybody was hoping that was going to be a bumper day of, you know, Lowland League helicopter, you know, Saturday. And we were expecting a big crowd, which would have been, you know, a good payday for us, and it unfortunately has not happened. So what it's made it difficult for, you know, the club, and it, you know, more than anything, it's made it difficult for Derek to know what he's trying to work with. We've obviously got boys, like all clubs, coming out of contract in early June, and we're at the point at the moment where, unfortunately, you know, we're having to be honest with boys and say we can't really, you know, offer you anything at the moment. There are boys there that we would like to retain, but we're just going to need to see, you know, what happens. I think the best thing that can happen for football is that we understand when it will return, and at least then we know what we're working towards. But right now, you know, we had a target of boys that we wanted to go out and try and attract to the club to build on what we've already got. That's had to be shelved. And the conversations with Derek very much at the moment are, we may well miss out on players because they may choose to re-sign with clubs, move on. But it's just something we're going to need to accept. And I think every club in every league's in the same position.
Yeah, and it's interesting that because there are, I mean, I personally know about a few footballers of decent Lowland League standard and potentially, you know, SPFL standard that don't have clubs at the moment or won't have clubs. And it's going to be some market once this is all over for players. It could really be a change in balancing for some clubs, you know, depending on who can get in there first, I would say.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, the evolution of the West of Scotland League as well, that's going to bring, you know, different dynamics because you're suddenly going to have a lot of clubs on the West that, you know, like Bonnyrigg have, like Kelty have, Bowen, Neslin, Lithgow, Camelin. They're, you know, they're going to see their opportunities to, you know, develop and move up the leagues, and they're going to be investing in players. So the market's going to be, I think it's going to be a funny market. I think there's going to be lots and lots of players out there, and I suspect there's going to be lots of boys that are playing probably SPFL 1, SPFL 2, looking for clubs. And I suppose there's opportunity there for the Lowland League. You know, we've seen over the last couple of years just some of the players that have been attracted into the league and the quality of the league. And I think, you know, there's an opportunity there. But there's also the danger when you have got no idea what finances you're working with, or, you know, in certainly Kelty's case and perhaps Bonnyrigg's case, what league you're going to be playing in. It's hard to build a squad. You know, it's very easy to make mistakes and, you know, potentially regret them down the line. So I think the West of Scotland League is going to bring a dynamic as well. You know, we've seen, you know, we saw one of our players, Willie Dyer, move to Drumchapel, who are, you know, one of the new teams into the West of Scotland. And, you know, well, Willie at that level is a phenomenal player. And again, you know, it's those kind of boys that are going to be moving around. So I think, but, you know, We've talked about this a lot internally, and I think you're going to have players that are going to hang it out and see what happens. And I think you're also going to have players that are going to look to sign contracts very, very quickly because of the uncertainty and because of the unknown. And I think, as I've said a couple of times already, you know, it's that bit around when we're going to be back playing is the biggest question. We've certainly discussed it, and if it's going to be August, September, as potentially it's been muted, you know, clubs won't want to commit to boys too early because, you know, bringing people onto the payroll too early, you could end up paying them months and months and months before actually anybody kicks a ball. Yeah. But on the other hand, you've got to commit to boys, and, you know, absolutely, if you want to be competitive, you've got to be out there signing the right boys. And they have a value. So it's a tough place to be right now. It certainly is. And I feel for, you know, every club out there. I certainly feel for Kelty and Bonnyrigg right now. I think the position they've been left in is awful. I think, you know, there's been a lot of press around the SPFL 2 clubs, and I think, you know, the word's been used, self-preservation. It's exactly that. I thought Kelty's statement last week around, you know, playing with no reward money, I thought that was a fantastic statement to make. And, you know, it proves that there is sporting integrity there. Don't get me wrong, I think every league's in a tough position. You know, I spoke to George a couple of times, George Fraser, chairman of the Lowland League, in the last few weeks, and I absolutely take my hat off to everybody that's working behind the scenes trying to work through this, right the way from, you know, the SFA, the SPFL, the Lowland League, the Highland League. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare, and I think you cannot please every club. There are clubs that are going to be upset. There's clubs that are going to, you know, gain out of this. But I certainly think, you know, if you have champion clubs or clubs that could have been champions, it's only right that they merit a position in a higher league. I absolutely get, you know, suspend relegation, that's the fairest thing to do, but you know, it's hard on clubs. I know how much has gone into Bonnyrigg, I know how much has gone into Kelty to get to where they've got to, and to, you know, potentially have no reward at the end of that's a tough place to be, and it's wrong.
Yep, and an interesting point made by Sean Winter of East Kilbride was, you know, if it's not, I don't know, I think we're further away with the suggestion of 14, 14, 14, but if there was sort of places put up for grabs into League 2, and, it, you know, maybe it was by application with Shire, you know, I would assume Shire would put their name in the hat. Suggesting, you know, having been in league football and been up there, I don't know if that's going to be on the table, obviously, but it's an interesting sort of thought.
I think it's a long shot. I think, you know, I think if places are available, they should be, you know, they should be absolutely on merit, and you know, merit comes through league positions in my eyes. I think, you know, we've always said from the, you know, from the day we came down into the Lowland League, that our ambition was to get back up, and that hasn't changed. I think, you know, we pushed hard for it last year, and, you know, ultimately, I think, you know, if the opportunity came around, absolutely we would look at it, we would want to take it. But I personally don't think it will go that way.
Yeah.
I think it will go through, you know, merit, and rightfully so. If you win the league, or, you know, you're runners up, that's absolutely, you know, what you should get as a promotion opportunity.
Yeah. And obviously you mentioned about signings there, like Drumchapel and whatnot, but Darvel, another team, is obviously, you know, strengthened with sort of SPFL you know, class of players. Are you looking forward to playing some of these sort of West of Scotland teams potentially next season?
I think it's something that, you know, we've absolutely embraced, is, you know, travelling to different places. And, you know, I think if you speak to any of our supporters, sometimes the more obscure is what they're looking for. You know, we went down to Loch Arthistle last year and played them, and, you know, had a fantastic day out. We've played Annandale, you know, in the last couple of years. And just, you know, new ventures. So, we've always, you know, we've always had a strange following that potentially, even in the SPFL too, we had bigger away attendances than we did home attendances. And a lot of that was just due to, you know, our supporters like a good day out, which is what football's all about. So, yeah, you know, I know Darvel have strengthened, and I think they'll continue to strengthen. You know, you've only got to look at the quality in the West of Scotland coming up through the junior ranks to look at, you know, the kind of clubs that are there, you know, Hurlford, Auchinlechs, you know. We had two boys sign, you know, Mark Miller and Marty Orr signed from Lark last year, and you've only got to look at the, you know, the investment Lark's made and the impact they had. So, yeah, it's going to become tougher and tougher, and I think certainly some of the cup competitions should be, you know, interesting in the next couple of years. I think everybody is, you know, the Shire have always been pro the pyramid. Even when we were a, you know, SPFL club, we always felt that it was the right thing to vote for, you know, having a pyramid system. And I think we always knew that potentially we were going to, you know, we were going to be one of the first victims, and that's the way it kind of turned out. But that's not to say it's not the right thing. And I think, you know, we've thoroughly enjoyed, you know, playing in the Lowland League. And I talk to supporters regularly that, you know, the SPFL was in their eyes, it was a flawed league. You ended up playing teams four times, and if you were unlucky and drew them in the cup, you could end up playing, I think we played four for Athletic seven times one season, you know, and that just becomes, you know, monotonous, and it's ultimately what kills football. The benefit of the Lowland League is, you know, you've got different games coming up, you've got, you know, different places to go, and certainly, you know, with the way the East of Scotland's going and the new West of Scotland, it's going to, you know, the future's good if it all comes together. I think Scottish football's got a unique opportunity right now to take a step forward, and yep. I just hope it happens, and I hope it happens for the right reasons. You know, you've only got to look at the statements Stenis Muir have put out and Stirling Albion have put out in the last few weeks, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, it just kind of makes you wonder. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I'm surprised, actually. I was half expecting to say Spartans have put in a bid to nick fourth off you. The way that was going there.
No, listen, I think it's one of these things, you know. I think we were one of the few clubs that, I think actually might be the only club in the Lowland League that, you know, due to the points per game played ratio, we actually dropped from third to fourth.
Yeah.
Listen, it's, you know, as I've said, I know the work that's going on in the background, and there's no easy decisions there. And I think everybody that's working, you know, in the dark corridors of power, hopefully we'll come up with the right solutions. I certainly know, you know, as I say, you know, I spoke to George a couple of times, and I absolutely trust that, you know, he will be doing the best for the clubs that, you know, are in the Lowland League. And I think, you know, it's having those kind of voices sitting around the right tables right now that are the important things. It's going to be an interesting few weeks. I think, you know, there's a lot of unknowns still to, you know, come out. And I think anybody that predicts where it's going to land just now is kidding himself on. I still think there's some twists and turns.
Yeah. I mean, I was, when I saw, you referred to the statements from like Stenny and Stirling Albion there, but when I saw them, I was like, there's no chance. But then you had clubs like Clyde coming out and kind of saying, we're not having this. So, yeah, there's still a wee bit of hope, and you're right. I think it changes, you know, week to week. The SPFL, every day there's been an update, basically. The last few weeks, so
I kind of thought, you know, I'm watching it the same as everybody else is, and I kind of felt, you know, I was getting pressured into putting a statement out last week because everybody else seemed to be doing it. So I was starting to panic that what the hell can I write a statement about? But some of the statements have come out have been mind-boggling. Other ones have been, you know, I thought Clyde's was exceptionally good. I think Bonnie Rigg's statement a couple of days ago was excellent. I think, as I said earlier in the thing, I think Kelty's statements have been good as well. So, you know, absolutely, sporting integrity needs to come through as the main priority here. Unfortunately, I do think there are some clubs that are in self-preservation mode.
One thing we never really touched on, but I'm always interested in this because I think it's only three clubs in the world that have a reserve team, if you will. Are you just going to go with the reserve team next season? I know you had sort of a big team due to the reserves, but because of everything that's going on, is that going to be a, you know, harder to fulfil with contracts and whatnot?
Yeah, I don't think we've officially come out and said either way, but I think, you know, the answer to that will be no. There'll be no reserve team next year. I think it's a decision we had to make. To run a reserve team, don't get me wrong, I think the reserve team last year was good for us. We had boys coming back from injury. It meant they got good game time. It meant that young boys coming through actually got competitive football. And I think when you're taking on teams like Livingston, United, Albion Rovers, you're pitting yourself against sometimes better opposition. So it's certainly something that myself and Dale have discussed, and just, you know, purely from a financial point of view, we've said that, you know, we're not going to do it next year, which is unfortunate because I think, you know, we did have, you know, supporters coming along on a Monday night watching the games, and I have to be honest, I watched some cracking football in the reserves last year. We saw some great games, and it's disappointing. But I think just with all the unknowns that are happening just now, it's something that we just felt that, you know, we cannot commit to, which resultantly means that, you know, we will have a smaller squad than we had last year. There's no doubts about that. Carrying a big squad was the whole reason that we ran the reserves, was to make sure people had match time going forward next year. That certainly won't be in place.
Yeah. And it was a sort of in-joke, you know, between ourselves, where the amount of signings you came out on Twitter and whatnot. But I think it's sensible, obviously, given the current climate. But I've asked you before, obviously, and stuff like that. But I always find having a reserve side quite interesting because it's a bit different from what other clubs obviously have in terms of their development and whatnot. But are you at the moment, how are Shire doing in terms of finance? I think you're on Donate a Ticket. Is there a sort of fan sort of Just Give Me stuff like that going on?
Yeah, well, like every club, you know, the next couple of months are going to be financially challenging. I think, you know, we set a GoFundMe page up very early on, and it's been fantastic. I think we're just over £2,500 have come in from that, and the Donate a Ticket has been excellent. I think that's just a fantastic idea, fantastic scheme. And, you know, I think we're up about the £750 mark. I certainly know, there's going to be a Scottish Cup Donate a Ticket competition. I think it's starting next weekend. I think there's 32 clubs have signed up to be part of it. And in each round, I think every club's given away some good raffle prizes to anybody that donates, and I think it'll add a bit of something over the coming weeks. And again, it's an opportunity to, you know, if everybody can support their local club and, you know, try and help these clubs through. You know, we've obviously committed to, you know, we're paying all the players, you know, older contracts right up to, you know, either expiry date or, you know, throughout if they've re-signed. It's the same with all the backroom staff. You know, we've obviously got physios, kit men, all these kind of guys. And we made a very early commitment that it was the right thing to do. It was just to make sure people were, you know, secure, that they knew that they had money coming in. That puts a strain on the club. I think the one thing that every club's going to, you know, struggle with next season is sponsorship. You know, we're out talking to sponsors just now. And the first thing to a man that we're hearing back is most sponsors don't know what's happening with their own businesses. So they're very coy about, committing anything. I think there's a lot of desire, people want to do it, but I absolutely get that, when you don't know when your own business is reopening or, can local businesses, continue. Sponsorships, probably the last thing in anybody's mind. So it's something that we're going to need to do, and we're going to need to overcome. But as I said at the start of this, the thing that we've made a decision on is, we're kind of hanging off until we find out the start date back. And once we know that, we can then start making some decisions about players' budgets and all the rest of it. I have to be honest, and one thing I'd like to say is, we obviously ground share with Falkirk, and that's a cost the same as every club's got with maintaining their own grounds or ground sharing. Falkirk have been absolutely outstanding with us, and again, right from the first time that the lockdown happened and all clubs stopped training, Falkirk have been absolutely brilliant with us as a club. So they always are. But I think, in the time of need, we could have ended up paying some huge bills for games that weren't fulfilled. And I just want to say thanks to Falkirk from us, because, they were very quick to make an offer to us, and it helped us out no end.
Brilliant. Andy, you kind of stole my thunder, Ubik, because I was going to ask you about that. But no, that's fantastic to hear. I said it a few times, but it's a weird, me being a Fifer, but I love Falkirk Stadium. Like, I know there's a bit of a rivalry between Fife and Falkirk, but no, Falkirk Stadium's a fantastic ground. I always love, coming to see Shire there, and I don't know what it is about the ground. Just a fantastic facility, really.
Yeah, no, we're lucky, and I don't think you'll speak to any Shire fan that wouldn't rather have, Firs Park back again and playing on their own ground. Unfortunately, where we are in our history just now, that's not something that can happen, and it's not something that's on the horizon. So, us being in with Falkirk just now, it's certainly, from a facility point of view, there are a few facilities I can think of that are better than it. Falkirk as a club have been absolutely outstanding with us, right the way through, from, opening up the boardroom through to, helping us out. The fact that the boys train there as well means that, we're not having to move around locations training. The boys can come in, we get used to the dressing rooms, training nights. All our kit is stored in the ground, and from everything right the way through, from the dressing rooms, the physio facilities, the gymnasium facilities, right through to the playing surface, it's top quality. So again, it's something that we've spoken to Falkirk about continuing on with, and they're absolutely up for it, and as are we. So I don't think that'll change anytime soon.
Brilliant, mate. And just to touch on the season, how did you feel that the season went, and sort of where do you want to be? I take it you want to be back up there next season, or when we return to football?
Yeah, I think when you look at our season, it came down to a couple of games. I think on our day, we absolutely are a match for anybody. I think we lost to Kelty 1-0 down at Falkirk Stadium. And I think anybody that was at that game would say, we were by far the better team. I think Nathan Austin scored a goal late on. Same thing happened with East Kilbride. We absolutely played East Kilbride off the park, and, they scored a late winner. Let ourselves down badly a couple of games where, boys just, didn't perform as they potentially can. But I think when you were at the game up at Kelty, the 2-2 game.
Yeah,
that's probably one of the best games of football I've seen for a long, long time, and it was a good advert for, the Lowland League. It was two teams going absolutely hell for leather at it, and there was some good skill on display. There was some good old fashioned, robust football on display, and I think it was a game that, although it was 2-2 and we were 2-0 down, we actually felt we should have won it. So, you know, it's a tough league. You know, it's if you, you know, if you don't turn up every week, you will get punished. And I think that was the story of our season. You know, we played some of the top teams off the park and you know, lost. And we slipped up a couple of occasions. But, you know, the boys are always told before they go out. And, you know, I can hear Derek saying it now, you know, do not underestimate teams in this league. You know, you'll pay the price. And that was the story of our season. Just not enough consistency.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you said about the, you know, up against the likes of Kelty and BSC and whatnot, because Kelty, both games, I thought yous were the better team. And I saw, you know, bits of the game against BSC that you played at Falkirk. I think you smashed them, really. And then they had one chance through ball, and then that was it. You know, 1-0 defeat. I mean, what can you really say? I mean, I thought yous actually played really well in them games, but obviously, it was, you know, you just didn't get the results at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I think it's exactly that. You know, I think the BSC game was exactly the same as, you know, the East Kilbride game previous. By far the better team, couldn't take our chances at one end, and then, you know, went to sleep, lost a silly goal at the other end. And that's, you know, that's what cost you. That's, you know, it cost you, you know, league titles, it cost you positions. And I suppose that's why we love football. It's you know, unpredictable, but yeah, no, I'm sure. You know, listen, we've signed the backbone of the, you know, the side from this season for next year, and hopefully we'll be adding quality to that. I know Derek's got a list that he keeps shoving under my nose, and as soon as we know what's happening, we'll endeavour to get as many of these boys in, and you know, to retain some of the boys that we've got just now that haven't signed. So. It's about building. It's about building on it.
And just finally, mate, I don't know if you spied my team of the season. I had Nicky Lowe and Jamie Dishington. I know I spoke to you throughout the season on boys from Shire. Obviously, if I hadn't seen a lot of Shire or whatnot. But is there anyone else that deserves a bit of a mention and the sort of that's impressed this season for Shire? I'm sure there is a few boys, because there's a few guys that probably just missed out for me.
I think there is, and you know, I think we've got quality right the way throughout the team. I think the one that probably, you know, and I think I actually saw a couple of the Kelty boys putting their teams of the season out, and it was young Rhys Peggy that was in there, and I think Rhys had an outstanding season for us. He actually ended up filling in at left back quite a bit for us because Willie Orr had an injury early on in the season, and. You know, the lad was just outstanding, and he's one of the lads that he just wants to play football, and he wants to, you know, he'll give his all. I think he played in the middle of the park in a couple of the Kelty games and absolutely held his own. Yeah. So you know, Rhys Peggy was great. Marty Orr, for me, you know, he was one of our players of the season. You know, he made the right back slot his, and he absolutely outstanding. You know, Big Tappy could probably play in every team in that division, and you know, if not teams above, just, you know, commanding. But for me, you know, Nicky Lowe I thought was one of the outstanding players in the whole division, and I think, you know, that's a couple of years ago, if you'd said that you would have boys like Nathan Austin and Nicky Lowe playing in the Lowland League, people would have looked at you, you know, funnily. But now it's, you know, the quality is gradually growing, and when you've got boys like Nicky playing, Nicky's a joy just to have. Nicky just wants to play football. I think he played in every single reserve game for us as well, let alone every first team game this season.
Yeah, and left. I think that's kind of why Rhys was kind of. I had so much pelters between trying to choose between Scott Linton and Jonathan Brown at Bonnyrigg, obviously. So left back was just immense competition there, and for right back I was glad to see BSC the Players Player of the Year was Jamie McCormack, so I got a wee bit of pelters for putting him in. But you know, it's great to that you know there's more than, you know, one or two, three or four players that could rightfully be in a team of the season. That's, you know, you mentioned it there, the terms of quality, but it's just unreal trying to pick. Like, it was so much easier last season, I would say. You know, East Kilbride doing really well, Jamie Dishington, I think, was in my team last year, but when he played for Spartans and stuff. But it was a lot easier last year than it was this year. That's why I had to put a 16 instead of the standard 11.
Yeah, I think there's quality in every single team. You know, I think, and you know, you look at, you know, the Stirling Uni team. You know, there's some cracking boys in there. You know, Sybil have got some, you know, some outstanding players in their teams as well. You know, Spartans have always got quality there. You know, BSC, you know, you've got Jamie Mills one side and Jim McCormack the other side. You know, probably two of the best fullbacks in the division as well. So, yeah, listen, there's quality there, and there's quality that could play right the way through. Big Sean Brown can play at a higher level. You know, Tommy Orr at BSC can play at a higher level without any question. The Lowland League's in a good position just now for quality, and I suspect next season you'll see more of that coming in.
So Tom Orr was a difficult one for me because I chose Thomas Collins because of the games I saw at BSC. I thought he was outstanding. But yeah, it was, again, leaving out Thomas Orr was kind of a difficult decision as well. But when you've got a guy like Nathan Austin who scored, 30-odd goals, you know, he has to be in it automatically. But
I think the key thing just now is, you know, I think one of the very, very early statements I put out about our club, I said, you know, football doesn't really matter just now. As much as we all get emotional about it, and we all love talking about it, and more than anything, we all love, you know, going and watching and being involved in it. I think the key thing just now is, you know, stay at home. As I talked about earlier on, I'm in a privileged position that I get to see frontline workers working every day. You know, don't do anything stupid. Stay at home and, you know, make sure that we get out of this as soon as we can, and, you know, saving as many lives as we can.
Brilliant, mate. And it's always great speaking to you, Andy. Hopefully, you know, I'm looking forward to the day I can get back down to Falkirk Stadium, catch up with you, Dale, and the lads. It's, you know, I'm missing it at the moment, mate.
You know, you're always welcome, and keep doing the good work. I've enjoyed listening to all the podcasts, and I certainly know, you know, a lot of the boys do as well. So, good work, guys.
Cheers, Andy. Catch up soon, mate. Obviously, cheers for all your work, and keep safe, pal. All right?
Will do. You and yourself.